kids, to another fun-filled episode of the We Are Adult Show, brought to you by Hophead Productions. I'm your host, Sean. Danny, love is in the air. Or hate, depending on what's going on in your life.
No, that was like a foreshadowing, like you did last week, Sean, to an anime that we're going to talk about later. That's like my favorite thing that one of the characters keeps repeating. You're being unpleasant. That's unpleasant. Anytime anything happens, that's unpleasant.
Right.
I was hoping I could fit that in somewhere, and you set me up perfect, and then you didn't catch it.
It happens. I didn't really hear you. I think you said it too soon.
That's what she said.
There was a lot of. That's what she said in our previous conversation, and what he said with small holes, bigger cars, smaller cars.
Yes.
I was trying to keep us civil.
Yes. Off the air, we were discussing that my wife got a new car and she upsized, and we were talking about the benefit of having a bigger car and not having to, like, you know, force things in or to, you know, bend things at different angles to put it in, or just, you know, avoid having to spit on it.
And you'll never want it smaller.
Yeah, you'll never regret going bigger. You'll only regret going smaller. To continue the quote, there's never a point in your life where, like, man, I'm glad I got the small one. I'm so happy that I got the big one. You're right. I didn't think about that one. Like, that was highly inappropriate out of context, which is a fun conversation.
Exactly. Oh man. So what are you drinking this week, Danny?
So Sean, I've decided to keep the streak alive because I know you're not going to today.
Okay.
I'm drinking a beer called Ain't No Hurry, a sour wheat ale by Wildworks Brewing Company of Greeley, Colorado.
Oh boy, look at you. You got your hands on some, huh?
3 weeks in a row. As I said, it's a sour wheat ale brewed with black tea, honey, ginger, lemon, and turbinado sugar. Mm-hmm. And I poured some in a glass and I gave my wife a taste, and she liked it enough that she wanted the rest of the can that didn't fit in the glass.
Interesting. Nice. Must be a good beer. Wife approved.
Oh my god, dude, this is so good. First drink on the air. First drink. I always try to hold off drinking it until we, like, start recording so that I get my first. You know, I was watching there's this YouTube guy that I watch, and he does reaction videos. And people keep suggesting that he does reaction videos to the Beastie Boys. And he's like, I can't. I love, like, the Beastie Boys are, like, one of my favorite bands. He's like, I can't fake my first I can't fake that I'm watching one of their videos for the first time when I've watched them hundreds of times. That's not the point of my, you know, I'm not going to fake a reaction for views or whatever. I'm sorry. Yeah. That's not me.
Yeah.
Oh my God, dude, this is like the ultimate summer beer, Sean. It's like,
I got that summertime.
5.5%.
Yes.
And it says it's dialed in. They're right, dude. It is dialed in. Like, it's like drinking a glass of nice iced tea, amazing iced tea, with that, like, little bite of ginger in there. Like, you can smell it. You can, because ginger's not very subtle, right? Mm-hmm. And it can easily overpower something where, like, it almost burns sometimes if you put too much in.
Uh-huh.
But it's just on the nose, and, like, it's there, like a nice spice added to it, just to add a cleanse the palate. That's the word I'm looking for.
Cleanse the palate.
Oh man, I can drink so many of those in a row. Yeah, I got this from El Cerrito Liquor, actually.
Oh wow.
That's like probably my second favorite bottle shop behind La Bodega.
The La Bodegas.
Yes. Oh man. I can just sit there and I forget drinking this beer. Like, I can just sit here and smell the beer too. Like, it smells so good.
Put it in an air freshener.
Yes, it looks like a glass of iced tea too. The color, like, when I handed it to my wife, she's like, "It's so dark. Like, why are you giving me a dark beer?" I'm like, just drink it. Because I knew she would like
so
it.
So gentle well, of you.
I wanted to see her reaction, and she really, oh, man. Yeah. So what disappointing drink? Nah, what are you drinking, Sean?
Wow. I'm actually having something new as well. Mm-hmm. So, from Urban Artifact, it's called Love Letter. It is a peach Midwest fruit tart.
It's a perfect day for a tart. You tart. Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's simply wonderful. It's tart. It's peachy. It goes down smooth. I mean, I don't know what else you could really want from this beer.
I was going to say, just like my beer, like it lives up to its description.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's so easy to drink. Like, oh, damn, dude. It's like 7.9 ABV, too. Like,
nice.
Okay. All right. So you can't pound these unless you want to go down to, if you want to lose yourself, I guess you can.
Unless you want to go full M&M.
Exactly. No, I mean, it's like I said, it's very solid, very easy to drink. It's got a, you know, good sour tartness to it, and then you just get those nice peach notes to it. Like I said, very easy, not disappointed. I've been drinking a lot of the orange one, because that's my favorite one. So I wanted to make sure I changed it up for the show, since I think I did the orange one, I think, last year around this time when they came out with it.
Yeah, I don't remember. Like, I don't remember what all I drink. There's been a few times where I've, like, gone to check stuff in on Untappd, and not necessarily just on the podcast, but just in general. Like, and I'm like, oh, wow, I've never had this beer before, and then I go to check it in, and it's like, oh, never mind, I've had it. Like, I couldn't remember if you had this one, like, from Wild Works. But I'm like, screw it, I'm going to drink it anyways because it looks good.
Fuck it. Why not?
Why not? Yeah, so have you got all your beers sorted out, Sean?
Yes, we made the my pile, her pile, and then the communal section of beer. So
was it like that picture that was going around for a few years of making fun of the couple that was getting a divorce during the height of the beanie baby craze, where they had like as part of their divorce they just laid the beanie babies in a big pile and then like fantasy league draft style that they each like took turns picking a beanie baby that they wanted to keep?
No.
That how you did it? You just put all in a pile and then you like thumb wrestled or something like that to see who got to go first?
It was easy. I took everything I wanted and then put everything I didn't want in her area. So,
kind of like parents at Halloween.
Right. Andy. No, like, I went through, I grabbed a lot of, like, the barrel-aged stuff that I always buy. And then anything with lactose I put over. And then a lot of the IPAs that I know that she bought, I put in her section. And then there was some random stuff I've had before that I just put in, like, the communal area that came from, like, my dad's side box. So it was kind of like, hey, you know, I've had some of these I've had before. So, like, whoever gets to it first is, like, cool to have it. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, and right. Then there was, like, a couple sours, like, that we got from Tavor. So, like, we each got one can because we ordered both, two for each of us, or one for each of us, so that way, like, we could keep track on, like, who had their can, just in case.
So, right.
So, but it definitely made some peace among the house, so, and I was able to scrub out the keyser a little bit.
That's good. It's always nice to keep peace. So, Sean, like, it triggered a thought when I mentioned, did you guys thumb wrestle for it? I, I didn't think this was possible, but I actually learned a new sex move.
I don't. I've already. I see where this is going. I don't know. I mean, the show's trash anyway, so you might as well just keep it going down in the gutter.
Right, we're going, like, why not, dude? It's like that. There's a movie, Strange Brews with Rick Moranis and Dave. I can't think of his last name, but it was based on like their Canadian version of SNL characters, where like people are trying to kill them, and so they're like driving in a van, and like at some like somebody cuts their brakes, and they're going down a hill. And the guy, you know, driving the van just like takes his hands, like puts his hands in the air, and the guy in the passenger, one of the passengers, he's like, "What are you doing?" And he's like, "Oh, there's no point in steering now." We're at that point right now. There's no point in steering now, Sean.
Exactly.
But apparently there's a thing called the Alabama pig roast. It's when a dude is having a sex with a girl doggy style and another guy is getting a blowjob, and then they arm wrestle on the girl's back. And then, you know, they have the, because it's like the Urban Dictionary entry, so according to this, they always, you know, like any good dictionary, use the example in a sentence. So this example sentence is, "I won the Alabama pig roast last week against my buddy Ebenezer." Apparently, Ebenezer and Jacob Marley are big fans of the Alabama pig roast. Jeez. from the Christmas Carol story. Do you know anybody else named Ebenezer, Sean?
I don't know any.
No. Oh, man.
Jeez. Terrible.
So, Sean, you know how, like, a lot of breweries are getting accused of, like, intellectual property theft?
I think so.
Like, basically, like they'll use, like, cartoon characters or video game characters because they don't want to, like, come up with their own designs. And then you get breweries like Stone Brewing, like, just suing anybody with the word stone in the name of the brewery or distillery, even if like it has nothing else to do with stone, so that they could protect their, so they could like win their lawsuit against Keystone Brewing. So apparently there's a brewery in Virginia Beach. It's called the Thin Brew Line, and their logo is like a cop shield, but then it like that's like half cop shield, like half cop badge with the hop, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they released a beer that has like the their logo inside of a blue ribbon, and then they named the beer Not PBR. And it was like, how this clever. Clever, yes, exactly, because you can't sue them because it's obviously not PBR. And so this social media page that I follow, the Worst Beer Blog, and it's like, definitely can't claim confusion. It clearly says not. And then one of the top comments is actually from Pabst Blue Ribbon, and they said, "We're calling the cops."
Jeez.
On the cops. So, yeah. So, like, I'm just waiting for some brewery to throw, like, you know, like Mario or another, like, video game character on there and just call the beer Not IP theft. And it's like, well, you can't sue us. Or even like Mickey Mouse, just throw Mickey, go balls out and just throw Mickey Mouse on there and say, oh, it's not IP theft because we said it's not. Oh man. You know, you were talking about first world anime problems. Cause like there's an anime that I told you to watch. That's on Amazon, Sean.
Yeah.
I have my first world anime problems.
Oh boy. Is it that random people will start talking to you because they know that you like anime?
No. But I did find out some of the people that I work with on my first shift are anime fans, because there's a group chat that was supposed to be about work. And then at some point somebody like mentioned an anime to the supervisor, and that kind of went off. But then he was like going to mock him because it was like, oh, I bet you like Demon Hunter.
Dude, you're such a noob. You like the mainstream stuff. Like, oh my god, you're such a fucking normie.
Well, let me not even. It started with, no problem. By the way, Naruto, because the supervisor was wearing a jacket with Naruto, with one of the Naruto characters on the back, and so the guy's like, no problem. By the way, Naruto sucks. And then the supervisor replied back, I bet you like Demon Slayer. And then the guy replied back, Rising of the Shield Hero is where it's at, my friend.
Nice.
And then some random person jumped in. Oh, and then the same person that recommended Rising of the Shield Hero and made fun of Demon Slayer also said that Sailor Moon is the shit.
I don't know where this is this conversation is going.
Well, no, that's just a side conversation. But my first world problem is so on PlayStation, when you go to the TV and video section, you know, they have all the different like streaming services on there, even though like I haven't downloaded them. Like they're like, hey, you should download this, and I'm like, but I don't want to download this. And also, how do I get this off of here?
Yeah,
because it's like, who wants like Tubi or the Peacock Network? Or there's like eight of them up there, but I only actually have subscriptions to like four of them, and then for some reason the three that I watch the most between Funimation, VRV, and Twitch are like, they're only allowed to take up the last two slots. So whichever the most recent two I watch, the third one gets relegated off the main screen, so then I have to like expand the whole thing and find it, as opposed to it being like convenient to where I can watch it, since it's, you know, one of the ones that I watch all the time. I don't know.
Gotcha.
Again, first world problems.
Exactly.
But you did
like,
recommend.
I always get like the random like, do you? I heard you play video games, or I hear you like anime. Like, yep.
Yeah, I try not to. Like,
what you got?
Well, like I was gonna say, like my wife gets upset at me sometimes because she's like, for a while I didn't wear my wedding ring to work because part of it was I didn't want it to get messed up, and I've seen people get injured because of their wedding ring. Mm-hmm. And she's like, don't you want people to know you're married? And I'm like, the fact that people know that I need oxygen to live is too much information for some of them. That's how little I want people to know my life. Like, the fact that they know I breathe oxygen is, like, they're in my personal business too much.
Yeah. Oh, that's too funny.
Yes. So you recommended watching two animes. I think I'm, like, if they release a new episode this week, I'm behind one, the newest episode, but...
Episode 6 popped up at some point this morning. It like pops up around 11 to 12 Eastern time. Because I checked it this morning and it wasn't there. And I was like, this is fucking weird. I thought it popped up, and I like later on checked it and it popped up. So there is one more episode for you to watch.
I figured as much. But yes.
We're talking about... Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, you say it, man. You were already one word ahead of me.
I'm already fucking it up. You're like, you can say the name because neither of us are going to get it right. And you already volunteered yourself as tribute to the Hunger Games.
Mush is just a jobless reincarnation.
Mushoku Tensei, jobless reincarnation. So, Sean, because of the weird glitches that I've been having with Funimation, I've had some amusing glitches with this show.
Oh, really?
Yes. So before we get into it, I just want to tell you like the best one. So one of the episodes starts off with him and his I'll give the premise real quick. So basically this guy is like mid-30s, unemployed, loner that just basically sits at home and watches anime and beats off, and he gets hit by a van and dies and wakes up as a baby in like some sort of mythical magical kingdom, right?
Yep.
And so I think it was like the fourth episode starts off with him like before he dies, and he's in bed spanking it, and two guys would kick down the door, and one of them is like a baseball bat, and they're basically to force him out of his apartment because he hasn't paid rent.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
And so in his new life, because he was like made fun of so much in his past life, he didn't want to go outside and stuff. And so at some point he finally gets, through events in the show, he realizes it's not scary outside of the house.
Yeah.
And so...
And he's hard... He's teased pretty hardcore. Like, at first, like, in the first couple episodes, I was like, dude, this guy's just a bitch. And then it was like, okay, yeah, that's some serious fucking trauma.
Right.
Like, you start to, like, okay, you... Like, because you don't feel bad for him for, like, the first couple episodes. You're right. I think it's... Episode 3 or 4, they really kind of start going into his old life and the trauma he has, and then you're like, okay, I get it.
Yeah. So he finally realizes it's safe to go outside, and so at the beginning of the episode, that episode starts with him like laughing as a kid, like playing outside and laughing, and then he asks his parents like, mommy, daddy, can I go outside and play? Like, meaning leave the property.
Yeah.
And so. For a couple episodes, I had it where they would play the video for the previous episode, but the audio for the current episode. So when I played that episode, I got the video of him lying in bed spanking it, and it started the kid laughing, and then the guys broke down the door, and right when they broke down the door and stood up is when the new audio said, "Mommy, Daddy, is it okay if I go outside and play?"
That's pretty funny.
I'm like, I don't think the audio and the video, that's when that was like the first time it happened. So I'm like, I don't think the audio and video are matching up. But then part of me wanted to keep watching to see like
What, how
where
it
it
would
led,
go?
because it was pretty awesome. Like the fact that, yeah, they broke down the door and started kicking him, hit him with the baseball bat. He's like, "Mommy, Daddy, can I go outside and play?"
That's too funny.
Yeah, so like he wakes up in his kingdom and he finds out that, you know, his mom, you know, is a cleric and his dad is like a master swordsman. And the dad is like, well, he's a boy. He's gonna learn how to be a swordsman. He's not a girl. He's not gonna do that magic shit. And basically the parents have sex all the time. And then
Basically.
and so
I didn't
he
notice that. Has there been any lore that just says that only mages are female?
There hasn't
Because
been any. I think it's just the
because like his teacher's a female, and then like, he goes off into the he takes a job where he's training, and it's of course a female, so I don't know if it's just anime logic. Or if it's
Well, I
like
don't know,
actually part of the story, like that males don't do magic.
but then when he goes to take the job, the person that basically transports him to the job is a female, and she's like an even more badass swords person than the dad.
Yeah.
So,
Well, she's a beast person, so.
yes. But yeah, so he's basically adept at magic, and he's like, you know, because like he has his own, he has his consciousness in his body. Like, so he's like, he know, like he's like, wait, where am I? What am I doing? And then he's like super pervert, like as a baby, even like the maid's like scared of him because it's like she keeps staring at my boobs with this grin on his face as even as a baby.
Like she know the maid knows.
And then it's like it's funny and sad because at some point like the mom's pregnant but then the maid's like, "I'm pregnant too," and they're like the kid like in his like adult voice is like, "Wait, she doesn't really talk to anybody. Who could the dad be?" And then his dad's like, "It's probably mine." Before he has to
Yeah.
stop pointing fingers or start, "It's probably mine." And so you know the kid's like, "Wait, I like the maid. Like, why does she gotta leave? Because they're gonna send her away for you know her shame." And then he's like, "But that's my brother, like, or sister. Like, I'm gonna miss my sibling and this and that." So he basically talked the mom into letting her stay. But then the dad's like in the doghouse for a while.
Yeah, a long time.
A long
I
time,
think
yes.
it's funny because he's like, dude, like he's such a douche, but man, why do all the girls like him?
Right. And then the dad basically just takes that, like in the training and stuff, the dad starts taking his anger out on him.
Exactly.
But it is a good show. It's so far.
No, I've really enjoyed it so far. I think it's different and it's clever. It's got its typical weird anime moments and shit, but I think it overall though it's pretty solid. I like his like how focus more focused he is on the magic and just kind of and even in today's episode it was just kind of interesting how he understands things from like our world and like uses it in their world. So I like it. I think it's I definitely recommend watching it. It is on Funimation as well, so
Hopefully you don't get any weird glitches like I did, or hopefully you do and you can be amused by them and then go back. Because every time I had to start a new episode, I had to go to the watch list, and then like open the show and then go and click the next episode. And then sometimes like I would have to back out and then try to restart it again because it would give me weird glitches. So I don't know. Maybe I need a PlayStation 5.
Maybe.
I was thinking of having a PlayStation 4.
Yeah, it's kind of
Like
jacked
that.
up too, because like he gets like sent off and he like leaves his like one friend behind.
Right.
But it's kind of interesting because he's like, you know, he's like a neat that doesn't care about anybody. But like in this show, he like cares about his new friend so much that like he's trying to make money so they could both go to the fancy magic school.
Yeah, I don't think you caught, I don't know if you caught my joke though, because when you told me about the show and I saw the job title, I replied back, "That sounds neat," but I spelled it like the Japanese term.
I did not. You got me on that one.
Yes. I forgot that. I used to know what that stood for. Not employed or entered in something or something like that. Like, not in education or in the job or I don't know. But it's like, it basically means you're not in school or don't have a job voluntarily. It's like incel for people that don't want to leave the house.
Fair enough. You just gotta wait for a giant pandemic, and then you're a hero for not leaving the house.
Exactly.
You're, it's part like, of the solution, not the problem.
Yeah, you went from being a weirdo who stays home all the time to being a hero that stays home all the time. It's all a matter of perspective. But then the other show you watched that I only watched, like, that you're ahead of me on, because I only watched 5 episodes, is Beyond the Boundary.
Woo! So, yeah, this one's about, and the world has like monsters, and they have like the monster slayers in it, and you come to find out that the two main characters have some, you know, are not very favorable in this world. So you have the young girl who is the last of her clan, and she's able to make swords and stuff out of her blood, so which was really frowned upon. And you know, the history we know so far is that her clan was basically wiped out because they were either feared to be too powerful, or they were too powerful and started some shit and got fucking wiped. And then he's half monster. So they kind of end up like liking each other, but of course like things are a little bit more awkward around that, because he has like a glasses fetish that he always like teases her about. And then, like, as Danny said at the beginning of the show, her favorite catch line is, this is not pleasant.
Yes, or that's unpleasant. Like, literally, like it opens up and she's like, he's like walking and he thinks she's going to commit suicide. And then basically the way he tries to talk her out of killing herself is, "You're too beautiful with your glasses to die." Like, I thought like VRV was messing up with the audio, because like it went silent and he's like, "Well, that's not exactly what I said, but here's basically what it sums up to." And it's like, "Girls with glasses are beautiful, and you look even more beautiful than them in your glasses, and you shouldn't die because you're too beautiful to die." And then she jumps back over the fence and is like, "That's unpleasant," and then stabs him.
Exactly.
So like the description of the show is like, talks about the guy meets a girl who's the last of her clan, and you know, with unexpected like, I can't remember exactly how it ends. So when I read the description, I thought for some reason that, well, not for some reason, but for some, I thought that she was going to be the only one that had powers. Like, it was like an out of the world experience, kind of like how a lot of animes are, where like Data Live, you know, I thought it would be something more like that, where he was like just a normal human and everyone else was normal humans, and she's, that's why she's the outcast, is because she has these weird powers and nobody else does. And you know, if I was like, I guess, like the standard nerd, and when it didn't go the way I wanted, that I would have hated the show and stopped watching it, because my headcanon isn't true.
Yeah.
Instead, I was like, oh, never mind. Okay, they're telling a different story. Okay, tell me the story you want to tell me, so I because I'm not the one that wrote the show.
Yeah.
And then like at the end of the fourth episode, when they kill the shadow thing, and like the big, and my wife was watching it, she's like, "So is that the last episode?" I'm like, "No, dude, it's like the fourth episode, like it's barely started." She's like, "Really? They already had like a big fight like that early on in the season?"
Right, they have to, because get shit going.
But then it's like, you know, they're setting up for something else going on, because like whenever they kill the demons, like there's little like crystal thing drops out, and then you get paid, basically that's your bounty for killing them. And the bounty for killing this thing wasn't as high as they thought it would be. And they're like, wait, that's kind of weird. And then, you know, the High Council is kind of watching one or both of them. And so I'm sure, and you know more than I do at this point, so I could be way off, but I'm sure it is more of a, it almost seems more like it's going to be like a conspiracy behind the scenes show as opposed to fighting big bad monsters.
Yeah, I don't know yet. There seems to be like, there's some weird shit going on with one of the council guys. I don't know why he has so much interest in the main character, but like he tricks, like, and I don't want to spoil too much, but like there's some bad, with the main girl. Like she, you know, she commits a crime that she's very, she feels very guilty about, and some of that comes back to, you know, try to kill her. And of course this guy is involved with it. And so it's interesting because I don't know exactly what is the deal. You know, we have these clans that are supposed to be like protect, but they also kind of like run the show in those areas. And then we have this secret government kind of going on. And this guy seems to be pretty powerful. So it's, I think it's interesting because it's just like, you don't like the, there's so much other things going on with all the different characters that it's hard to say like where it's going to go.
Right. And you know, I mean, that's, there's a lot of like, another thing I like about the show is that it seems like it's almost like the anti-harem anime. Cause you know, there's enough female characters in the show to where it could at some point become a harem, or it could have. And it could have also just been like the two of them, the odd couple of being overpowered, fighting all these big bad monsters that nobody else, and saving the day all the time. Like both, but both of those could get boring easy because there's so many of those shows out there. Mm-hmm.
Correct. Yeah, I do like how it kind of, it is set up to look like a harem, but it really is not. Like they definitely kind of keep the main character actually interested in her, while still caring about everybody else, but like more caring about her. And then the guy, and then his friend is freaking ridiculous with him, and like it's like the, like it's like almost like they make fun of things, and like so they make fun of, they kind of like let this guy get made fun of for having like a sister complex, because he's like always like, oh, my reward is just you calling me big brother.
Yeah, because there's a point where she calls him, and like he has like a ringtone of like, I love you, big brother. I love you, big. And then he answers the phone, and she's like, change your ringtone. And he's like, what? How do you know? And she's like, I live with you. I just know who you are. But yeah, like they call both the main character and his friend out constantly for being perverts. But then, because I thought it was gonna go harem-y, because there's that part in one of the, like the second episode or the first episode where they're in their literature club, and the sister's like talking to the main character, and she's like, "So, is after graduation when you're finally gonna confess your love for me, huh?" And he's like, "What are you talking about?" He's like, "Cause or do you think I'm gonna confess my love for you?" And he's like, "I don't even know what you're talking about. Like, I don't think either of those are gonna happen." And she's like, I don't know. I think one of those is going to happen. And he's like, how do you know what my plans are? Why are you telling me this? Like, she's basically mocking him. Like, as it goes on, you realize she's just mocking him in a way, like, as opposed to actually having feelings for him.
Yeah, I think that's part of the charm on this is, like, it's got a good story and it's got a lot of fun characters, but it definitely goes out of its way to, like, make fun of like anime though at the same time.
Right. I mean, it's not full on like satire of anime the way Kill la Kill is, but they definitely like, you know, because like I said, like normally the like, main character would be like, oh my god, I love girls with glasses, and then like by the middle of the season he'd be surrounded with like eight girls with glasses that all love him, and he can't pick which one. Even though he has feelings a little bit more for one of them, he still loves them all.
Exactly.
Instead this one he just gets called a pervert. It's like, dude, can you, because at one point they're even told him, it's like, can you just keep your fetishes to yourself, man? Can you stop talking about it so much? Oh man. But yeah, it's that one's on High Dive, right?
Yes, it is.
And it's on, they have like the standard like Japanese release, and then they have the home video release in both English and Japanese subtitled with subtitles. I don't know, man. They're both pretty good. So I've been watching a couple movies, Sean, the last couple weeks. We haven't had a chance to talk about them, and so figured we have time and I'll talk about them now. Since you have nowhere to go, Sean.
I've got nowhere to go.
You got nowhere to go. So the first one
And
I
that's
watched.
it for today's episode.
We're gonna go short today. So I watched the first one is called Detroit. It has John Boyega. Did you ever watch that show, the movie Meet the Millers, where basically like they take an RV down to Mexico to pick up marijuana, and then they come back with it.
I did
And
not
then they have
watch
like,
that.
it has like Emma Roberts and Jennifer Aniston and a couple of dudes. I know I shouldn't remember their names, but anyways, the actor that played the son is also in it. And so basically, this takes place during the 1960s in Detroit. You know, there's issues with the police and black people, and there's an incident that sets off basically rioting in the streets. And so one of the cops already gets in trouble because he shot a dude in the back, and they're like, "Yeah, we're after this is all over, we're going to arrest you, but because we need all the people on the streets, we're just going to let you go out on the streets again." And it's like, "Well, wait a minute, you already know this guy's racist and likes to shoot people in the back. Like, that's not a good enough excuse. Like, what's to stop him from doing it again now that he already knows he's going to be arrested anyways?" And so, there's a bunch of people at a hotel. And one of them has like a starter pistol, and so he fires it, and the cops think they're being shot at, so they raid the hotel, and shit goes down. And so that's basically the story of this movie. It's more focused on the incident at this particular hotel than the whole situation with the riot. And I was actually kind of surprised because usually movies like this, like they have a lot of setup, and then like the last little part of it is the part that would be in the hotel, but this movie pretty much the whole thing takes place in the hotel. Like it happens right off the bat. But you know, if you think, you know, whatever was wrong with Finn in the Star Wars sequels, you know, based on his acting, you need to watch this movie. Or if you want to watch something a little more lighthearted and British, watch Attack the Block. That's another great movie. It has the dude that isn't Simon Pegg in all those movies, his friend Nick Frost.
Oh, gotcha.
And then another movie I watched is Tenet, a Christopher Nolan movie. That, holy shit, dude, this is like the most Christopher Nolan-y movie ever. Like, I can't even really describe this movie. Basically, it deals with somebody figures out somebody's from like how to like not necessarily like it's not necessarily time travel, but they could like change and affect time. So like there's like ways that you can like go backwards in time and change things. And so there are kind of like cops, like these guys trying to save the end of the world because somebody from the future, because basically like there's like a way for people to go forward through time and people to go backwards through time. And so at some point, somebody in the future is working their way backwards, and they're bringing like a weapon from the future to destroy the current present. And so, you know, in true Christopher Nolan fashion, there's just a lot of like fancy, flashy fight scenes and so many special effects and super loud audio with like really quiet dialogue. But the reviews on this are hilarious. Nonsensical and tedious. I laughed. I cried. It became a part of me. Spare yourself. Life is short. I had great expectations for this movie, but it turned out to be awful. Did not like it and could not get into it no matter how hard I tried. The worst of all is the sound, which is deafening loud, and the dialogue was so soft nobody could hear. Plus, they all spoke with an accent. Well, yeah, because they're British. It takes place not in America. Which made the thing even harder. I could turn up the volume for the dialogue, and then the background sound would blow out my eardrum. Maybe I watched Blu-ray instead of DVD, what's exacerbated the problem. Yeah, so it's either like one or two stars or like 4 or 5 stars. There's not really any 3 stars. So, but then, like, it's also like so many people saying, like, I wonder if they're related, these people, because they both turned the movie off after 8 minutes. I don't know, man. There's a like they're talking about how the plot is hard to follow. Like, it is hard to follow. You have it's a movie you actually have to pay attention to, and kind of, I mean, this is like they're talking about how like this movie is they loved Inception, but they hated this movie because they couldn't follow the plot and how or how the plot in this movie needed to be explained by the actors. And it's like, that's literally why Elliot Page, then at the time Ellen Page, was in the movie, is so they had somebody to explain the movie to. Because if they didn't explain the movie to her at the time, then nobody would know what was going on, right? And I feel like, I think Christopher Nolan is suffering the same kind of burnout that M. Night Shyamalan was. Because anytime, like, after, like, his first couple movies, nobody watched, like, M. Night Shyamalan movies to, like, have the story be brought to them. Like, most people spent the whole movie trying to guess what the twist is, as opposed to waiting for the twist to come to you, right?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, yeah, I don't know. I feel like if you know you're gonna watch a Nolan movie, like, you should know what, you kind of have to know what to expect. Like, I don't know why it would be so difficult to know that, like, you gotta watch the whole thing.
Right. And you have to watch the whole thing, and you have to know that it's going to be weird and trippy, and almost for the sake of just being weird and trippy.
Exactly. I don't know. Maybe just people aren't very smart. They just want to watch, guys in streetcars with tattoos and sexy chicks and go, cars go vroom with a couple punch scenes.
Right. And then I watched a movie. It was a little late, but it took me a while to get it. And I loved it. It was ridiculous and over the top. Fat Man with Mel Gibson as Santa Claus and Walter Goggins, who's one of my favorite actors. He's one of those character actors that when he shows up in a movie just gives it his all. He's the hitman who's hired by a 12-year-old to kill Santa Claus. But then you come to find out that Santa Claus is like, used to being attacked, so he's like practices self-defense and stuff like that.
Wow.
And oh man, some of these reviews, man. I have this new theory, Sean.
What?
I think like your ability to vote should be based solely on your Netflix reviews. Like, if you're like, I only watched 5 minutes of this movie and turned it off, it's dumb. And it's like, okay, well, if you don't have the ability to comprehend this movie, then you're not allowed to vote.
That's fair. Makes a lot of sense to me.
Like this one, I don't even know what the hell this is supposed to be. Like, what a disappointment. I thought this was going to be the quote unquote woke Christmas film Hollywood leanings have been hinting at. Instead, it's the same old claptrap. Where's the transvestite elves? Where's the third gender child? Where's the cross-dressing Santa? Where's the open marriage, Mrs. Claus? I, for one, feel betrayed on so many levels. One single tiny star.
Jesus.
Clearly, a political message here being that guns aren't the problem. It's the person's upbringing that's responsible for the violence. Silence. Santa did fine with the gun. It was the kid's parents. It was the kid who lost his parents who are the bad ones. Not a Christmas movie by any stretch of the imagination. And it's like, yeah, they never said it was a Christmas movie. Like, if you read the description, it tells you exactly what's going on. If you watch the trailer, this movie is worse than the community ratings would you lead you to believe. Fat Man plays like a bad direct-to-video movie that someone who is trying to break into the business needs screen time, or someone who is at the end of their career and trying to hang on would do. Nothing is good about this film. Nothing. I usually like Mel Gibson, but this is the worst performance he ever had. The premise is also bad. Santa is funded by the government. A horrible kid has a hitman on retainer. And a military contract is taken out by Santa to fund his business. It's like, this leads to many questions. Why would the U.S. Only the US sponsor Santa Claus and not all of the Christian countries. Why would Santa need money? It's like, who cares, dude? It's dumb. You're not like movies like this, or you're just supposed to like just turn off your brain and just watch a fucking stupid plot of it. I mean, like, I don't know. Like, why do they justify any other Christmas movie as being, they're like, this movie isn't very realistic, and it's like, neither is other Christmas movies. Not a very uplifting movie. Way too many killings. I guess I expected something a little more comedic and not so dark. Batman is one of the weirdest movies you will ever see. Bad language, hitman trying to kill people, kid hiring a hitman. Well, of course hitmen are trying to kill people. That's their job. Not a good family movie at all. No recommendation here. Somebody from Arkansas.
Well, that they're good. There's your problem.
Right. They put their full name, Arkansas, and date they reviewed the movie.
I'm pretty sure most people in the South should only be limited to a quarter vote.
Oh, man. But yeah, dude, this movie, I don't know.
I went there.
You did. If you just want to watch a dumb movie with better acting in it than it deserves, because it has Walter Goggins in it. Yes. It's stupid. It's over the top, but it's also fun. Because, like, at one point, like, the hitman takes on, like, a whole unit of the military.
Like, oh, really?
Yes. So, I don't know, man. And that wasn't, like, me trying to say the movie's dumb. I'm just saying, like, it doesn't make sense. And then the last movie I watched is called War Dogs. Mm-hmm. It's very loosely based on a true story. It stars Jonah Hill and Miles Teller. He was the Jonah Hill and Miles Teller, and they're basically these guys that take advantage of a government policy during the first Iraq War. Actually, the second one possibly, because Dick Cheney was involved in both, but most it's the second one where like private contractors they opened up the bidding contract process to anybody. And so they're able to, like, they start taking small government contracts to sell arms and, you know, just shake it. They get in over their head. Mm-hmm. Right? Oh, man. But, again, it's like, so I learned an interesting fact in that History of Swear Words documentary, Sean.
Yeah.
They asked the question, it's like, what actor has the most swear words per minute of screen time? Who would you think?
I would imagine it would be Samuel Jackson, but I feel like that's it's a trick question.
It is. It's Jonah Hill.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting.
And based on like this movie and Wolves of Wall Street, especially Wolves of Wall Street, is like if you took away Wolves of Wall Street, he'd probably like fall off a cliff and fall down to like 10th or something like that on the list of actors swears per minute. But so it's like, someone's like, I'm not a fan of Jonah Hill, but it was a good fit for him. A nerdy guy turned obnoxious high risker. Dude, his laugh in this movie is hilarious. Someone's like, I had to turn this gutter filled obscenity laced trash after 25 minutes of trucker mouth. And my wife constantly tells me to stop using the F word. Well, then don't watch a movie with Jonah Hill in it. Unless it's like an animated kids movie, and you know it's an animated kids movie because he says the bad words. It didn't deserve even one star. Worst movie ever. We turned it off after 30 minutes. Poor script filled with the F word almost every other word. Rather stupid. What we endured. Don't waste your time. And I think this guy is just a troll making fun of people because this is a great – probably my favorite review of them all. Misleading title. This new movie is not about dogs or dogs that are war dogs. So stupid. Why name a movie War Dogs if it's not about war dogs? Like,
are they expecting like actual dogs to be running around with guns and knives killing stuff?
Or dogs that like maybe carried messages during the war or something? I don't know, man. Again, if this person was being serious and isn't trolling, this person does not deserve to vote in anything, whether it's, you know, like their favorite color or the president. We're taking a poll. What is everybody's favorite color? Sorry, you don't get to blue. Oh, I'm sorry, you don't get to say your favorite color. Your opinion doesn't count. But yeah, I don't know why, dude. Like, that's my new favorite thing is just scrolling through and trying to read like all the 1-star reviews on Netflix. After I watch a movie and then I'm like, all right, what do the idiots have to say? Speaking of what idiots have to say, Sean.
Well, here we go. Don't you fucking lead with that.
Speaking of what idiots have to say, Sean, Destiny 2 started its new season. P- You almost ruined my good segue, Sean. You almost ruined it.
Oh, man. It's like they knew what the play was, and they still fell for it.
It's like, you know, in like sports movies where they tell him, it's like, I'm throwing the ball over the middle of the plate. And the guy, like, he does it, and the guy still, like, misses. And it's like, I told you it was coming, and you couldn't hit it.
Oh, Jesus. Dude, Danny, I've had some bad luck in Destiny this week.
No drops for Sean?
It's not even about the drops. It's just about random shit happening. So, and I posted the videos in our Discord. If you look under the Derelict and the Crucible tab. So, I was playing Gambit after work one night. Or was it before? Anyways, I was bringing motes back to the bank, and two blockers came in, so I used my Thunder Crash to clear them, and I landed on the bank, and then the bank popped up. You know how it usually does after you clear the blockers?
Yes.
Yeah, the bank shot me into the wall and killed me while I had 15 motes.
Nice. Yeah, I was playing Gambit, and we lost. Actually, we won. But, like, my back hurt so bad after carrying that match, because when he got the score, final score at the end, it was like I deposited 50 of the motes.
Oh, wow. Nice.
I'm like, why isn't the number going up? And even at that point, I had lost probably, like, a good, like, 30, because, you know, trying to, like, you know, go full Brett Favre. Yeah. Where it's like, shit, no one's helping me out. I got to force these passes. Or even Phillip Rivers, you know, like, you can't blame me for all my interceptions because I have to force these passes because nobody's helping me out.
Exactly. and then I was in, so the weekly Crucible rotation this week is Mayhem. And for those that don't know, Mayhem basically, it turns up your abilities so that you get them a lot quicker. And so basically it's just like a fuckfest of supers just getting thrown around for the whole
match. Yeah, I actually played that mode for the first time one day this week, and it was more fun than I thought it would be.
It is pretty fun. If you,
especially because it's 6-on-6 instead of 4-on-4.
Yeah. Since you're a dumb war hunter, you want to get the where you throw the blades, and then you want to get the that one arm, those arms that help you get after every kill, you get your more super energy. It basically, so you could spam your super like over and over and over again. Like some of the guys in the clan were getting like 15 super kills a match.
Nice.
So, yeah. But, so I was in Mayhem, and I was on a certain, I don't remember what the map's name is, any of the map names, but I jumped off, like, this barrel to get up into the air so I could do my Thunder Crash, and I went to Thunder Crash, and I got, like, stuck in the branches, like, of a tree, trying to, like, you know, get some distance and land on him, and so it slowed me up so much that my super ran out before I hit the ground, and then he pulled his super out and killed me.
Yeah, I had it one time where there was a dude, he was like, he thought he had a good ambush point, and I saw him.
Yeah.
And I activated my super, but when I was in the animation lock for my super, somebody jumped in between us, and I'm like, oh, fuck. And sure enough, he saw me, but didn't see the other guy. And, like, he had a faster super, so he activated his, like, and killed me.
Oh. Yeah, dude, I don't like playing with the blades either, because, like, I end up always killing myself with stuff. Or else, the only other thing, I have to, like, jump up in the air and, like, get away from everything and then do it. So that way I don't kill myself. But I'm, like, dude, like, this week, I've just been, like, dying for random-ass reasons. Some of them being my own fault. Like, I killed myself a couple different times with the Eyes of Tomorrow rocket launcher. Because, like, I would jump, and then, like, it shoots multiple missiles. So, the animation is, like, still letting go as I'm falling. And then, like, at the end of the animation, like I fall behind a rock or something. So like one of the rockets explodes right in my face and kills me. And then like, but the other ones will go kill like one or two guys.
Yeah, my favorite kill is like, because I was like, we end up getting like a boxing match basically. We were like meleeing each other and we both knocked each other out. Apparently, he killed me before I killed him. And so when I like spawned, I had a streak going.
Oh, nice. That's funny.
Oh, man. So, did you play any of the story?
I did. So we got we're in season of the Chosen this for this season, and basically the Cabal are back. The Cabal again? And basically the princess, or now the queen, whose father's King Kallus, who was the guy that we were doing the raids for in the first year or two. So basically she comes, she wants to kill the Hive, she wants our help, but she wants us to like kneel before the Empire, and basically she's making anybody who passes these trials one of her commanders. So you're going in and like basically killing these people that are trying to rise up in the ranks and make it. So it's not too bad. Like the seasonal event, like you typically have to kill some guys, throw some bombs, and then you have to work your way and kill one of the bosses. So it takes a little bit more time, but the loot pool seems to be pretty good for it. I don't think it's like I've said before, like the seasonal stuff is like good and fun, but the seasons are never going to be like as jam packed as the fall season, where you get the newest season and you get a major DLC drop. Like now that, depending on who you are and how much you've played, now that you made it through the fall content, all with the new DLC of New Light, you're kind of basically like just playing season to season, and it is what it is at that point. So it is kind of interesting because it's the season has only been here for like a week, and I've already seen people that have probably done nothing but play Destiny. So this season they took some of the main titles of Conqueror, Dredgen, and Unbroken, and you could actually do achievements and make them like sparkly for this season. And I've already seen one Unbroken and one Dredgen already sparkled out. And I was just like, dude, what are you doing, man? So like, and I don't know what the Unbroken is because I don't have the Unbroken title, but like to get the Dredgen title like updated, like you have to kill invaders and invade and kill. Easy peasy did that. You have to like win the match where you had the most moats banked, you didn't die, or you did the most damage on the primeval. Easy peasy. And then it's like reset your infamy rank and then get 50 wins. I'm like, this motherfucker grinded and got 50 wins in like 3 days? Like, what the fuck, man? Like, what are you doing?
Well, it's like that video making, like, old video, like, sent you years ago about, like, one of the early battlefields, and it was, like, two guys that basically were, like, weekend warriors, and they saw a guy that was already level 100, and it was, like, early in the game, and they're like, let's go ask him for his advice. What did he do? And they're like, do you have a job? And they're like, yeah. And it's like, mistake. And it's like, what about a girlfriend? And they're like, well, one of them was like, I'm married, and I was like, yeah, my girlfriend lives with me. Another mistake. And it's like, what about your poop bucket? And it's like, poop bucket? Like, we have a bathroom. Another mistake.
Yeah, that's pretty, so that's like the other thing. I got a chance to play the new updated version of, the original Destiny Strike from D1, and they've updated it. It looks good. I like the boss fight. The boss fight, instead of just being able to blitz through and kill Prime, you actually, every time you get him down a third, he has servitors that pop up that give him a shield, and you have to kill the servitors. So it added a little bit of the mix in there. But it was pretty fun, and the music's, the way they mix the music for that one is really fun. I haven't got my hands on the new weapon for this season, which is a grenade launcher. I'm still like a lot of kills away from getting it. And then I've not gotten the new Nightfall drop. There's supposed to be an auto rifle, which is an aggressive frame, so it's not going to be good for PvP, but it's supposed to be pretty decent for PvE events that dropped. So I haven't heard anybody nobody in the clan, I think, has said anything about it yet. So I haven't had that yet. But I did make it through all my week one bounties, because this season, like every week, they give you like 10 bounties to do or objectives. So that, and some of them are a little bit more time consuming than the others, but it was an interesting way to get like bright dust and stuff. I think they were trying to make better mechanics for it. I also thought it was interesting that as you rank up your Crucible, and I believe it's for Vanguard too, if you do strikes and stuff, but you get stuff from Drifter like mods and different things like that, and you could there's a once you rank up enough, you get like the special we call them golf balls, but basically they're what you need to like upgrade your exotic weapons and gear and stuff. So there's a lot. It's interesting on some of the changes they made to get the material you need overall. But I think the serial, I think the season has been pretty solid overall. It's not as bad as I thought it was gonna be. But I think I'm just mentally prepared now to where it's like, hey, I'm gonna still play Destiny, but it's not gonna be like a grind fest anymore. Like now that I'm past the fall season, it's like I was already playing like Overwatch this week again, but just to change it up because I didn't feel like there was anything left to grind. Like I'm not gonna try to upgrade my Dredgen title in 1 week. Like that's stupid. Especially since next week there's a boost to getting Infamy, so I'll be able to play more next week and get actually more credit without having to actually play as much.
Right. Like, I'm kind of the same way. Like, I usually just do Crucible and Gambit enough to where I can do the 8 bounties for the week to get earn the prize from them, even though the prize sucks now because it's only the 1236, so you have to rank it up anyways. You know, it's like I like last season's better where they actually gave you the Prime Ingram, so you got current level weapons or
Yeah,
armor.
so I think you still if you do the bounties, you still get the Prime Ingram. But it was kind of more on, I think they made it to where like they changed like when you level up. Like, you know how you go into like Brave and stuff, Brave 2 and such? Yeah, they made it to where like you have clear idea on what you're getting from that stuff.
That makes sense then. But it's only been a week, so I haven't like had a chance to clarify that. But I did like it like so I jumped on to play like when it started, and you had the cutscene and all that stuff, and then it's like searching for players, and it's like, wait, what are you talking about searching for players? I'm not prepared for this, like mentally. I think, why are
That's
you making me
funny.
play with other people? I'm not ready. I don't want to play with other people. I just want to like dig around in the story.
Yeah.
And so luckily it was like it's one of the new events, and they're not that hard. They're pretty easy. So like if your light level is high enough, you should be able to burn through them pretty good. Either that or I'm just playing Destiny enough to where I don't suck anymore, because like the other two guys I was playing with, either they were just like being more ballsy than me, or but they kept dying all the time, and I think I died only like twice.
Yeah.
So, I mean, to be fair, there were no jump puzzles in there, so I did pretty good.
That's always a plus. It's pretty funny because like the voice of Zavala, Lance, has been doing some different. He did a goofy voiceover of the initial scene where she asks you to bow instead of like the original is just he says no, but like in
He
the
goes off on his monologue.
alternate, yeah, like yeah, he's. Just about how, like, if he wanted her dead, he would just tell us, the Guardian, that she's hiding some secret weapon, some fancy weapon, and we'd come over there raiding and just
Yeah,
destroying
like
her.
we've killed gods for a helmet. If he wanted her dead, he'd just say that, wow, she has a gun. If you kill her, you can get it, and you will be dead.
Yeah. It was pretty funny how much, I thought it was really funny that he did that voiceover for it. So, but he seems like a cool dude. I guess he's done stuff similar in the past. But he's like, even though like Zavala, like people like don't necessarily like Zavala because you know how he what his stand is in the game. I think a lot of people have just started to really embrace Lance just because how much. More he's interactive. And the funny thing is he plays Destiny, but he plays as a warlock.
What and
The guy that voices the head Titan plays as a warlock. Main's a warlock. It's a dark days ahead, man.
right, I was gonna say, and plus he's had become the personality of the game since they killed off Nathan Fillion's character. He got too big for
Exactly.
the game.
Yeah, and I think Drifter is came became some of the funny side character. And I'll tell you this, Danny, the one thing that I've liked about this season is it's not like it's one character narrating the whole season. When you get into the battlegrounds, they brought a lot of people to do dialogue. We got Osiris, we got Saladin, we got Amanda, we got Crowback. Like, there's a lot of different people doing the narrative of the event going on, and I think it feels more true and genuine. And I think that's one of the pluses about this season versus previous seasons, where it would just be like, we would only talk to like Osiris for one, like on one of them last year. Like, it doesn't make it like it doesn't like that. It makes the story not feel like it's relatable into the whole universe. Where this has all the different characters into it, so it feels more relatable because everybody's there. Everybody acknowledges that this is an event.
Right, like before it just felt like you're doing a bunch of side missions for each character because you'd like, oh, go do this for this person and you're only going to talk to them, and or go do this for this person, you're only going to do like the one, I can't forget her name, the one that she was on the moon, Eris Norn.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm like, is that a magic card or is that the Destiny character? Because there's a magic card that's similar.
What about whalers on the moon? Do they carry a harpoon?
On the moon. But
Sailors on the moon. We carry a harpoon. Oh, good times.
like you would do stuff for her and you only talk to her, and because it was very much like Zavala, he'd be like, go talk to them, like he would like pawn you off on other people, and but he wouldn't like, he would only like, it's like, oh, I heard Eris said that you accomplished this, good job, or the whole thing like with darkness, and it's like, well, I don't appreciate this, but you and this other person are gonna ha Varix knows what they're doing apparently, so you and Varix are gonna ha can handle this on your own and just come back to me every once in a while and fill me in. As opposed to, like you said, it feels like this is something that affects the whole like city and all of the guardians.
Yeah, it just makes me wonder like how much money does these do voice actors cost for like these games? 'Cause like the lady that does the warlock, I forget the warlock's name.
Nobody cares about warlocks.
Well, yeah, because they're so dead basically. Like she's like super non-existent in the world anymore. It's like Osiris is now the warlock main after being banished. You know what I mean? Like 'cause like
Right.
they'll pay for his voice actor, but they won't pay for hers. I don't know. It seems weird on who they pay for voice actors and stuff and how it seems to modify the story, it feels like.
Yeah, I'm trying to find her name. I was hoping you would talk longer.
It's Ikora. Ikora is the name of the warlock, the head warlock. And I think her last lines was she was in Shadowkeep for like a little bit. She wasn't even in there very much.
Right.
So.
Like you don't even like get bounties from her or anything anymore. Like she's
No.
just there, like watching, like looking over her little view.
Yeah, it was totally. Yeah. She's been totally like cut off from the Destiny world.
Gina Torres is the voice actress.
Yeah. And she was in that TV show with Nathan Fillion.
Oh, the rookie?
The Rookie.
Or Firefly. Oh, she
Firefly.
was the... Okay. That makes sense then.
So, yeah. And then I think even in the last Cade thing, in like Cade's in when we in Forsaken, like I don't even think Nate even voiced Cade. I think it was the guy that does Ghost. So I think that's what it is. I'd have to go back and look. So it's kind of shitty that that's came and gone. So.
Which is probably why they ended up killing him off, because they're like, well, we can't afford him anymore, and he's got a real job.
True, that's true.
He's making that
So,
rookie money. Oh man. Too bad we all can't be making that rookie money, Sean.
exactly. We can't all be that
No, we can't. No, Mr.
good.
Sean.
We can't be good enough to say that. That's it for today's show, though. You can make sure you follow us on Podbean, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Amazon Podcast. Sometimes Danny posts his beers on Untappd. You can follow him on Instagram as well and Facebook. Give
Yeah.
us some magic reviews.
Give us some reviews. Give us some. Tell us you like the show. You can lie. We appreciate it.
Exactly. All
It's
right, if
when you lie from a certain perspective, or a certain point of view, I guess would be the more appropriate way to put it.
exactly. All right,
All right.
everybody. We'll see you
Jinx.
next week.
Later.